One of the first things that you'll hear from Rabban Shlomo Zatzal's Talmidim over and over and over again is his love and caring for his Talmidim. For me, in my life, it was constant ever since I was a Talmid of his. The most poignant example of it, which is a very, very powerful one, is something that I might have mentioned in the past, but it's worth starting over the sheer lessons again with this. My oldest son, Menachem, Shmuel Menachem, who's now, Baruch Hashem, married and learning in Mir Yeshiva, when he was born, he was very sick. My son, when he was 2 days old, was born with a condition called transposition of the great arteries. Now, unrelated to that, my wife and I had difficulty having children the first few years, and there were issues that we knew that even before we got married that might be challenging, and Rav Braunschweigel was guiding us from the beginning. There's a lot more to say about that, but that I'll leave for another time. But he was there guiding us from the time that we were even dating, through our difficulty that we had conceiving, and then ultimately after our son was born. When the next day after my son was born, I'm not going to tell the details of the situation, transposition of the great arteries just in one sentence means that really the heart doesn't work because the pulmonary and the aorta arteries are switched. 50 years ago, a child born like that didn't live. Baruch Hashem, we were born at the time in the place where there were very special people in Mount Sinai Hospital, to make a very long story short, who switched the pulmonary and aorta arteries. And now, Baruch Hashem, my son is fine. I've spoken about this in the past. There's a lot to the story, but I'm not going to. Now, they realized that Menachem had a problem about 6 hours after he was born. And so that morning I called the yeshiva and I told the fellows to ask that they should daven in the yeshiva. And there was someone who wrote down on a piece of paper that when Rav Braunschweigel came into shir, he wrote down that my son wrote down the news to my Rebbe with my son's name, Hatinok Ben, my wife's name, Aliza Ethel. And one of the boys, one of my friends who was there, who left a message for me after the Patira, said that he gave the letter to Rav Braunschweigel. He was right in front. And he said that my Rebbe looked at it, he saw it, he turned white and he began to cry. And before the shir, the guys didn't even know what it was. All of a sudden, someone passed him a note. There are 80, 90 boys sitting in the shir room. He looks at the note and he begins to cry. Then I was told, I wasn't there, I was with my son who was really ostensibly dying. He then stood up and he told the chevra, he stood up and said Tehillim, and it took him a while to compose himself to say the shir, and then Kedarko B'Kodesh, he said the shir. And this story is a very, very dramatic example, you know, when a Rebbe bursts out crying. But in many ways, that was his relationship with so many people. His devotion to the Talmidim was something that was out of this world. And he sacrificed his time where he could have written more Svarim. My Rebbe wrote a beautiful Sefer on Zeroim. He had Kiddushei Torah on Noshim Nezikin that we helped print. He added a little bit more. It was printed a second time. Both of the print, they're now out of print. And he could have written more Svarim. He could have said more Shiurim. But he would sit and talk to every single Talmud that wanted to be spoken to. And my growth, if you listen to things that I tend to focus on about the godless of the Shiur, the godless of his emes, the godless of teaching us how to ask questions and so on. But really, the first steps of caring for the Talmud in a very, very simple and basic way were changed my life. For example, when I came to Yitzhak Elchanan, I wasn't like most of the boys who come there after a year or two of Eretz. So I came at age 18. Actually, the way Reb Ron Spiegel himself came to, he came from both my Rebbe and I came from Tarvad Das to YU. And he would take time out of shiur and talk about the basic things that we needed to do to make sure that we stayed strong in a very, in a, what was sometimes a very difficult environment. And one of the things he spoke about is the importance of having night seder. Now, at the time, when I was 18 years old, 30 pounds ago, I was on my first quote-unquote semester, what they call, unfortunately, semesters, and semesters as opposed to Zman, in YU, the full what they call the full semester, I was on the track team. You're looking at someone who could have been a track star. Did I make the right choice? Baruch Hashem, I think so too. So, by the way, Reb Ron Spiegel could have been a ping pong champion. It's true. I'm not joking. He was fantastic in ping pong. I have to get the details from the people who know, but he was. If my Rebbe was very, very small and very agile. He once told me, this is very amusing. Rav Belsky Zatzal enjoyed playing paddleball. Rosh Yeshiva of Tarvad Das, Rav Ron Spiegel knew him well. And Rav Belsky was very tall, Rav Ron Spiegel was very, very short. So I once asked him about them playing paddleball together. He said, I run between his legs. I get around him, I go between his legs. So, my first semester, I didn't go to night seder. My Rebbe arranged me amongst 90 guys. By then, I wasn't one of the stronger boys in the shir. I was just one of the weaker boys in the shir, younger but weaker. And he sat down and asked me if I had a night seder. And when I told him no, he went and he found me a night seder chavrusa. He went and he found me. Now we're not talking about a 30-year-old Rebbe in Reshit or in a Tivaria. We're talking about someone who's one of the top Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik, who's a Rosh Yeshiva and so on. He made it his business that to ask every single boy what they were doing. And that's why, I just want to paint the scene. It was Ashrei Ayin Ros Azos, and I miss the scene so much. Is when Reb Ron Spiegel used to come into the Beis Medrash, a small man, he's coming to the Beis Medrash, the guys who had questions from the day of Shir, the day before of from Shir, they used to crowd around them. There used to be 10, 15 guys, each one trying to ask not necessarily complicated questions, and he would answer every single one calmly. And he was there, and then after he would answer every Talmud, then he would sit down. And he would sit down with a Talmud, and he would find out every single boy. One of my friends, Rabbi Pesach Mendelson, said correctly, he knew every single boy of the 100 boys. He knew their names. He knew what shul they davened in, where they were from, who their rav was, what their parents did. Every single one of the boys. Now he did that again at the time that he could have been shteigi. Now he did shteig yomam v'layla, but when he was in yeshiva, he was entirely devoted. He was entirely devoted to the Talmidim and talking to each one of them and every single one of their concerns. And ultimately, then, because he loved the Talmidim, he cared about them so much. The Talmidim really, really trusted him, and so he would suggest when he made a suggestion. It's not a secret that Reb Ron Spiegel's hashkafa was further to the right of most in Yeshiva University, or maybe everybody in Yeshiva University. And he would encourage his Talmidim to go to Mir. By the way, he was never disappointed if you didn't take his advice. He never, in the sense that he never held it against you. He gave his advice. In fact, in my case, he also suggested that I go to a more yeshivish place. But in the end, I told him my father's cheshbon of why I should stay. And he agreed that maybe I'd be zochet to stay and learning more that way. And turns out my father, Areni Kaparis Meshkova, was right. And he respected that there might be other ways of looking at it. Now the world saw that most with him when at Chasanas. It's a legend that Howard Ramshvili used to dance at his Talmidim's weddings. He used to dance ad afisas hakolchos. He would dance up until the point that he would dance until literally, there's an expression, till you drop. Our Rebbe would manmish dance till he dropped. And so what would happen is we would see him, he'd be dancing, and then he'd start teetering, and they would bring, and someone would hold him up or bring a chair. There were times that he fainted, times that they brought oxygen, and what happened was, 5 minutes later, he would get up, and he'd start again. Now, I think there were two parts. Now, by the way, to contrast it, some of his colleagues, I heard someone said about a Rosh Hashiva that said, there's one good thing about being an Avelos, and that is he doesn't have to go to every single wedding that he's invited to. My Rebbe loved going to every single one of his Talmidim Simchas. He loved it. And if it was at the expense of his time to prepare for Shir, because he knew how important it was to us, and more than that, it was so important to him. And I think part of it, of why it was so important to him, is because he realized what a miracle what was going on. He was a miracle. These modern Orthodox kids were a miracle. These modern Orthodox kids that they were becoming Talmidei Chacham was a miracle. And he rejoiced in it. He rejoiced in the miracle that he was being Maimid Talmidim Harbe, a child that wasn't supposed to survive the Holocaust. And he rejoiced in that. And with that, he saw his entire Shlichus. And the love that the Talmidim, and the loyalty that the Talmidim had for him, was really a response to that this miraculous care, this miraculous mesira, the way he was entirely given over to his Talmidim. And I think that's something that today is very much missed. People who are in Rav Ranchville's caliber and learning today, how many are there out there that are so devoted to the Talmidim? How many out there are so devoted that they're able to appreciate the significance of every single chasana? How many out there are really, really quiet with their Talmidim? How many out there sit with the Talmidim hours upon hours, talking to them about what's really, really on their minds? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should put that, you know, there's an in Chassidus they say that whenever a Gadol B'Torah leaves the world, his special midos are now something that everybody could grab. Where does it say it? I think the Chida somewhere says it. In other words, that when Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal was nifter, that in the world, because he left, and that midah of Hasmad and that midah of Yediyas HaTorah was accessible to everybody. There's Yodos. So this Mida is, my Rebbe was incapacitated for a long time, but now that he's passed to the Olam HaEmes, that's a Mida that's available for Rabbeim out there to grab. And so, I know I'm talking to young Talmidim, but Mirtz Hashem, some of you one day are going to be Rabbeim, and so you chop this Mida now while you can.